Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
It's also our theme throughout the whole school, the field house, the school, everything we do. It's God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. So we've been preaching through what's called the story. We have books for sale. Someone came up and wanted to buy 40 books of the story. So it makes for a great Christmas gift. And we'll begin that at the end of December and into the new year all the way through May. And speaking of gifts, I saw this. It might help moms and dads as you get ready for Christmas. A Christmas tip: wrap empty boxes and put them under the tree. Every time your child acts up, throw one into the fireplace, all right? That may help you. So God with us, but I have some family with us today here in, actually it's Miriam's side of the family, Miriam's mom, my mother-in-law, and Miriam's brother, my brother-in-law, and new bride, Jen. Won't you stand if you so everyone can kind of see you, we can welcome you. Come on. Come on, Nona. Stand, Nona. Right there. That's Nona right there. Best seamstress in Acco, New Jersey. If you're looking for some tailoring done, she's your person right there. You can go to her house and she'll take care of you right there. Right, Nona? A little shout out. 10% of the proceeds come to Marlton Assembly of God. So we're talking about God with us. When Jesus came, he was born of a virgin. The Bible says they called him Emmanuel. When I say 1, 2, 3, let's all say together Emmanuel. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Emmanuel. We could do better than that. 1, 2, 3. Emmanuel. Which means when I say 1, 2, 3, we say God with us. 1, 2, 3.
God with us.
You could do better than that. So now you got to put it together. Ready? So actually, this is what we're going to do. This side of the room is going to say Emmanuel, and this side of the room, you're going to say God with us. All right? We could do that. 1, 2, 3.
Emmanuel. God with us.
You guys win. You guys win. It's like, what do we get? What do we get? All right, here we go. Let's do it one louder, and then you guys, come on, step up your game. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Calm down. I'm not losing. So where this is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. When I get to verses 22 through 23, I'm going to ask that we would all read those two verses together. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So in the Bible times, especially a Jewish person, when they got engaged, they were considered married. Not till the actual marriage date did they consummate the marriage. So it actually had to be divorced if they even broke up the engagement. So when you date or when you get engaged, that process is important before God. And so I've told you before, I started dating my wife in February, and we got married in August, and that's how you speed up the process, my friends, right there. In the words of Beyonce, if you like it, put a ring on it. Oh, 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 right there, okay? Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is a good place to say amen right there. Anybody in the room with a show of hands, Jesus has forgiven your sins? Let me see your hand. Oh, isn't that the greatest feeling sense in the world? Now let's read verse 22 and 23 together. All this took place. Nope, 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 nope. We got to do it better. Here we go. Ready? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will give Emmanuel, which means God with us. As of course, that's the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He goes, this is what will happen. There will be this man, this Messiah, who will do supernatural things, and he will be called the Messiah, or he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, if you're here today, maybe you don't know anything about God or the Bible, you say, well, what is God like? I mean, who is he? Can I know him? Is he mean? Is he up there? Is he where? Like, who is God? Well, I want to tell you the one person on the earth that would know who God would be Jesus Christ, because it's God's son, and he came from heaven, and then he came to earth, born of a virgin, and he is alive, and he could tell us about God. So if you come here today and you want to know about God, who God is and what he is like, there's one person that we can listen to. So the Bible gives us a couple chapters about the birth of Jesus, primarily in the book of Matthew and Luke. And then it gives us a little bit of, like when he was 12 years old, like just a little bit. He went to youth group in the trampoline park tonight. He did that. But then you basically for 3 years, you see his life and ministry. Just before Jesus ascended, there was this discourse with his disciples that talked about what Jesus was like. So this is a story about, if you really want to know what God is like, you'll find it through the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 7 through 11. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip answered, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the work themselves. So if you really want to know who God is, you say, I have this desire to know God. I see God in the atmosphere, the trees. Someone had to make it. I have a need inside of my heart. There's a longing, or my sin or my conscience bothers me. Can God help me? Can he help my situation? God with us, the answer is 100% yes. He is here. He is present. And he is God with us. And I want to show you from Jesus' point of view who God is like. Number one, God is spirit. Everyone say it together. God is spirit. If you're not familiar with your Bible, there's a story that's found in the Gospel of John. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. And the Bible says in chapter 4 of John's Gospel, there's a woman at the well. No first name, no last name, just a woman at the well. And she came to Jesus. They were sitting at the well around noontime. Matter of fact, Jesus went right for a sensitive part of her life. He goes, the man you're living with now is not your husband. Matter of fact, the five husbands that you've had, you're living together. The fifth one is not your husband. And something happened and permeated her, his words permeated her heart and changed. So it's this discourse of God wanting to do something wonderful in the Samaritan woman's heart. And the Bible says that God is spirit in John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in the truth. So the gods of that day were God. They were like gods that you could pick up and you could bow down to. But the God of the Bible, or the God of for where Jesus came from, is immaterial, spaceless, and timeless. God is spirit. He's not a man or a woman. He's not a child. God is spirit. He was conceived by the Spirit. So Jesus Christ himself was conceived of the Spirit. You say, what does that mean? Born of the Spirit. So Jesus is 100% a man, just like me and you. He got tired. He went to sleep. He wants church to get over pretty soon. All this different stuff. He was 100% a man. But he was also, by the way, moms and dads, Jesus, Mary had to change their diaper. Jesus probably played soccer. Like, he was a real person. But he was also God in the flesh. He never sinned, and he was supernatural in his way. So he was the God-man. And so this is what the Bible says, that God is spirit. You say, well, how do I figure out God by his spirit? Well, he's not limited to time and space, but he was born of the Spirit. So you say, well, I don't feel God. Now let me just say this. If you come to Marlton Assembly of God, you will definitely sense and feel something different than your average church. You say, what is that? That is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says no one comes to God but by the Spirit. So what you'll feel or you'll sense is God is trying to draw you, to pull you in. But there are times in your walk with God, you won't feel a thing. Mother Teresa went through 3 years of her life where she didn't feel anything. So we are not people of just the feeling. Sometimes your feelings don't happen. Matter of fact, let me just say it like this. You are least aware of things that are most constant in your life. You are least aware of things that are most constant. So if like you came in here today, nobody kind of leaned over to their wife or husband and said, man, doesn't the air conditioning feel perfect today? Or you go to use the restroom, you put your hands under there. Wow, isn't this wonderful? God has provided the, because it's constant in your life. Everything that God does is constant and good and faithful. The world around us is spinning out of control. But just sometimes when you don't feel God, that doesn't mean God is not there. When you don't see God's hand, you must trust God's heart. He's a good and a faithful God. Sometimes you will feel him. You'll be on the mountaintop. God will touch you. You'll have tingles. Your heart, some of you today in this sermon, your heart will be fluttering like this. I want to do something for God. Pastor, what do you need? You want me to come on Saturday night? I'll come on Saturday night. God will speak to you. God may be speaking to you, like maybe someone on the room, I'm preaching about this, and someone over here, you cursed out your father last night, and God by his Spirit is speaking to you about you need to call your dad when you get home. It's the working of the Spirit inside of our hearts. You say, how does God work by his Spirit? I don't know. All I know is God works by his Spirit, but there's sometimes that you don't feel God, but that doesn't mean God's not here. God is consistent. He is faithful, and he is good, and you can trust him. Now, the reason why, and every pastor, every Christian should tell everybody to read the Bible, because there's one consistent word from God. And by the way, when Jesus came to earth, they were excited about Jesus coming to earth. There's 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. So this Jesus, this God with us, there was this great anticipation that God was going to do something wonderful in Israel and around the world. But the reason why a pastor says, ladies and gentlemen, please read your Bible, because even though you don't feel something, there is consistency of God's word in our life. 2 Peter chapter 2 says it like this. Do we have that? Good. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. See, some people say it like this. Well, how do I know man didn't doctor it? Or, you know, man didn't write it. No man would ever write the Bible. The Bible tells you that you're a sinner. Sin must be punished, and then if you're punished, you go to hell. Nobody would damn themselves to hell. But God, by the Spirit, gave us the words of God, for prophecy never, but this is how it came. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we get the Scriptures from the Holy Spirit, and when you read the Scriptures, it speaks to your heart. Now, some people are really heady. They want to know the historical, how it all ties in, all the different authors and all that. I've been to Bible college. I studied all of it, and it's wonderful. But let me just tell you this. When you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And Satan will do whatever he can, not for you to get close to that consistent word of God. And your life may be spinning out of control, but you read the Bible and it's a consistent word of God, just like water coming out of the faucet or the air conditioning being the perfect temperature. God is faithful and good, and he moves by his Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, everyone in this room, Satan will do whatever he can to dislocate you from the Word of God and the Spirit of the living God and move you over here and get you convinced that God is not working. But I'm here to tell you that God is with us today, and he wants to work in your hearts and your life. And he's good and he's faithful in Jesus' name. So God is Spirit. Number two, God is Father. God is Father. If you ask Jesus, like, what should we call God? You know, when they went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, when we pray, our prayers stink. They're weak. They're not powerful. Doesn't change anything. But when you pray, things happen. You ever notice Jesus, every time that he had a big decision, who to pick the apostles, what to start his ministry, he always spent time alone with the Lord. And he usually prayed all night, or the Bible says he got up before it was dark out, when it was still dark out. Why did Jesus, God's son, who had all the information, why did he need to? I'm just going to tell you, because he was still a human and was dependent upon God. But the disciples came to Jesus and they said, would you teach us how to pray? And this is where we understand God is Father. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So here's Jesus trying to teach us about who God is. He goes, okay, listen, let me try to help you out. Your brains are so finite. You just look at what's ahead of you on earth. Let me help you understand the best I possibly can. Let me put it in words to help you about who God is. And he taught us a pattern how to pray. He said this, when you pray, say it like this. He goes, when you pray, say, Father, holy is your name, or hallowed be your name. And you know the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. As earth. I have some homework for everyone in this room. Here's the homework. See, when you watch like TV, there's a new show, I think it's called God Friended Me. It's like whatever. Sometimes the world tries to help you to think about God. It's impossible because God's spirit, right? But Jesus taught us this. You want to know God? He's spirit. But let me just tell you how God is. He goes, you can call him Father. So when you lay your dead, let's say you take a little power nap today. How many believe power naps are of the Lord on Sunday? Did you just feel what I felt? I felt a peace come all over me. Did you feel that? Did you sense it? But when you go, so when I sleep, I have to actually sleep face down. I don't know why. That's just my, but when you, before you go lay down on your bed, look up and just say these words. Father, I need you. Something miraculous happens when a believer calls God Father. There is an intimacy and a connection that the world does not understand. God is spirit, but here's it. When we call God Father, there's something personal. A lot of people feel like God, he's big man upstairs, eye in the sky, or whatever. He's way far away. God can never come close. God, you know, God's near me or anything. But God, Jesus said, listen, you can know him on a personal level. You can call him your Father. Now listen, some of you men, this is very hard for you because you have bad fathers or they hit you or broken. Or we have guys in our church, they didn't know if the dad was going to be a good dad or a bad dad. Then they drink, they come down, they hit them for no reason. You're not talking about an earthly father. It has nothing to do with an earthly father. It has to do with God the Father that you can know. The creator of the universe comes into your bedroom and it's so personal and there's a holy connection between you and God. And everyone in this room, you can call him Father. That is deep. Matter of fact, Isaiah the prophet said, and this was our theme last year. This is what the theme was for last year. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Watch this. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government. And this is why. Listen, we vote for our president and we pray for our president. But after that, we let go of the Trump, the White House, the Barack Obama. We let that go. The government is on Christ's shoulders, and we trust the Lord. Some of us take our faith and we put it on CNN or Fox. Listen. They're just talking. Jesus Christ has it all worked out. The government is on his shoulders. Watch this. But this is what his name will. He will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now, my father's name is Otto Wegener. My grandfather's name was named Otto Wegener. To this day, I'm grateful to my parents for not naming me Otto Wegener. I had a good dad. He never struck me in a way. He used to kind of jump on me. I used to throw up, but that's another thing. But anyway, I have issues. Anyway, you have them too. All right, anyway, that's a song. Anyway, he was a good dad. But my dad's 75, and if Jesus doesn't come back, he too will pass away. He's been a good dad, but he's not everlasting. There's only one Father who's everlasting. And God says you can know him and enjoy him and live life to the full and abundance. So whether you had a good dad or a bad dad, either way, your dad is not everlasting, and God wants you to experience. He said, what should I call him? How would I know him? He's a wonderful Father. You say, what is God like? He's like Father. And with that, it's all like these wonderful promises that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be fair with you. He'll love you. He'll be concerned about you. When you get off track, he'll discipline you in a good way and bring you back. And you can trust him and he'll be close to you. God with us personally. Listen, I don't want to preach to you if I haven't been with the Father. Like, yeah, I'm talking about some stranger in a foreign land. But I just want to tell you this is what I do every day. They came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Like, show us how to do it. Like, we don't know. Like, our prayers stink. No one's getting saved. No one's getting, nothing's happening. And so I just copy what the Lord taught us. I actually do Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible says, go into your prayer closet, turn off the cell phone. So on my normal pattern, before I check the weather, the bank account, the sports, and that's very much a big temptation, you know, who's winning, you know, Kevin Durant scored like 50, then 49, 40. I get excited about these things, you know. But before I do all that, I go sit down in my chair, let the dogs out, come back in, have some coffee, and I write down, Father in heaven, holy is your name. And I personalize it. I don't say, our Father, you guys aren't with me. Believe you me, you don't want to be with me at 5 a.m. And quite honestly, I don't want to be with you right now. I mean, at 5 a.m. either. And so what I write down, my Father in heaven, holy is your name. And it jumpstarts something in my spirit, man. And God says, John, I love you. I don't care about the church right now. I don't care about everything else. I love you. If you were the only person on the whole planet, I would have died for you. I give you my son, Jesus, through relationship. And I'm going to start this day, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to give you what you need for this day. And I say, Lord, thank you. You're my Father. Everyone in this room, your father has disappointed you, your earthly father. But there's a God in heaven that you can call Father, and he's faithful and he's good. There's a third name. What is God like? He's Spirit, he's Father, and then third, he is love. God is love. You say, what do you mean? If you know John, the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know he is the disciple that Jesus loved. He never named himself. He's the loved disciple. He's the one who put his head on Jesus' breast when they took communion, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Matter of fact, we know that he ran fast. You remember at the garden tomb, it said the disciple who Jesus loved, he outran Peter to the grave. So he ran fast. We don't know all the details, but he wrote the gospel of John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. But then he wrote three other books, John chapter 1, John chapter 2, and John chapter 3. And he writes, he goes, listen, I know, because I was there with Jesus. I'm there. I can tell you, Jesus, this, if you want to know God, Jesus, this is it. This is it. God is love. Watch this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God. You say, why? Because God is love. If you don't know anything about the Bible or anything, and by the way, as we kick off Emmanuel, God with us, you know what this is? God is love. You say, who is God? God is love. God just doesn't love you. He is love. He was before evil ever started. He has always pre-existed as God of love. You say, well, what does God do? Or how does God show his love? Like, well, how can I embrace it? Well, let me just tell you how much he loves you. Before you were even born, he demonstrated his love to you. He wants you to know how much he loves you. And he went after this one issue, the issue of sin. Watch this. Verse 11. This is verse 9. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only son into the world. He only has one son. He gave the world his son that we might live through him. Without Christ, there's no hope. But with Christ, the blood of Jesus covers over our sin and we can live a new life in Christ, victorious, and go to heaven. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So when someone comes to church and says, oh, I love God. No, you don't. God loved you first, and we respond to God's great love, and we accept what he's done for us. So before anyone was born in this place, God did something wonderful for you that you can't do for yourself. God gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. You're sitting here, you don't know this, I want to tell you that God is love, and God did something about your sin, and he took the initiative to wash away your sin. Now listen, here's where the rubber hits the road. When you ask Christ to come into your heart, the Spirit of God comes inside and love comes inside. You say, well, I have hate. Then you don't have God. You say, well, I believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe and shudder. But when you invite God, he comes in by his Spirit and the Spirit of love. Well, you say, I have different spirit. I have a spirit of drugs and alcohol and pornography. I have all this other different stuff inside of me. Then that's not God's Spirit. God's Spirit comes in. He brings a spirit of love inside of you, and it changes the way you handle human behavior. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through 20. Watch this. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So you have to love everybody in the room. And the Bible goes on, so you have to love your enemies. Some of you in this room, you have to love the Democrats. Really? And some of you in the room, you have to love the Republicans. We all have to love the Tea Party. And the independents. What happens is, when God comes in your heart, he gets you to think about loving people who are unlovely. And he radically changes your life. God comes near us. God comes and blesses us by his Spirit. And you can have as much of God as you want in this room. God's not a favorite of everybody. He's like, Megan, you know, because she can sing, I love her more. And this person has like a lot of money, so I like them. And they're young or they're old or whatever. Nope, God says, you can have as much as me, Emmanuel, God with us. And you can invite him into every department of your life. Men, we got to remember this. We have a tendency, Sunday morning, we have this thing going on. And then we have the Eagles game. We got that thing going on. What's going on with the Cowboys? That's kind of weird, huh? They're winning games and all that stuff. Calm down. Calm down. The Lord will forgive you of your sins, too. Let's all worship the Lord. Cowboys! All right. But what about saying, God with us, Lord, would you come and would you be with me in my home? God, would you come and be with me with my finances in this box? God, would you come and be with me in my sexuality? Because I'm really confused. I'm not sure what to do. Some of you feel like going to homosexuality or you're looking at stuff or you're not sure. And you say, Lord, come into this box and teach me what you want me to do. This, Lord, I don't have hope about the future. I can't see myself being successful or making it in life or getting out of this rut. But Lord, would you come into this box of despair and give me hope? And God does that. And God, what about this box right here? Like my kids are not serving God. God, would you come into this box? And I need your help, Lord, in this box right now. And God is with us right here. Say, Lord, would you come and be in the youth ministry and the prayer service? And I'm telling you, I know Americans, we chop up all the boxes, and I want to tell you, if you'll say, Lord, I need you to come into my boxes, come into my heart, come into my mind. It's like a big playground, Lord. It's all this stuff going on. I need you. God is with us. I want to tell you, there's no one that's too far from God. There's no one that God doesn't like. He loves everybody, and God is love. If you do have hate in your heart, so I just don't like people. You wake up with anger, frustration, hate, or whatever. Listen, of course that's going to happen. Without God, because God is love. And we all look to the White House. We look to the State House. I'm telling you, God says, I have the gospel. It's God's love. I am not ashamed of the gospel because that's what breaks down sin and love permeates people's hearts. So if you're struggling in your marriage, you say, Lord, I feel like I married the wrong person. I'm not talking personal testimony right now. I married the wrong person. How can I ever love this person? You got a challenge on your heart. But God can teach you to love. What about my dad? My mom is like half her size, and she has Parkinson's, and she kind of crumbles over. Her eyes start going back. They got to put the pills in there. Well, my dad, the Lord teaches you how to love situations that are unlovely. Ladies and gentlemen, God is with us. He can help us raise our children. He can help us with our resources. If we'll trust him, I believe in this December that God, Emmanuel, God is with us. You're sitting here on the brink of disaster. You're feeling like suicide. Don't feel like moving forward. You don't have any hope. You say, how God going to help me? I want to tell you, God with us. God with us. If you're feeling joyful and excited about life, let me encourage you. Go tell it on the mountain, over the fields and everywhere. Bring people to church Saturday night, Sunday, Wednesday. Listen, we have the best message. People are in despair. People are down. They're discouraged. They're cursing. They're lying. They're hustling. And we have one that can permeate the heart and God, let God use you in a powerful way. Just begin to love people. Be generous. Pay for people's bills. Help people out. Wherever you can go, just be nice. Just be kind. You say, why are you like that? Why are you like that? The Spirit of the living God lives inside of me. I talk to him as my Father, and his love has permeated my heart, and God has changed me from being a racist to being a lover. He's changed me from hating people to being a lover. I love my mom, my dad, even though they went through a divorce. I love my parents, even though they hurt me or abused me. God changes the heart. I want my kids to feel love and the grace of God. Would you stand with me?